Does anybody know what day?
Well, that's new.
Happy hump day, Trump day, my friends. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 6:08, and your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Remember, the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast. Apple, Spotify, Scrapple, Odyssey. It's on all the...
What if I abnormally download my podcast?
It doesn't matter. It'll still come out even more abby-normal.
Oh, yeah. That was, movie reference?
And that's just the show. That's how it is.
Yep.
Okay. But check it out, right? The Bob Rose Show podcast. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minuet of the show. All right. We got Ed Belarski coming in today, don't we? Is that confirmed?
Yes.
General Manager, GRU?
Yep.
Yeah. Man, he's got to fight the same battle over and over again.
He's got to feel like Groundhog Day when it comes to dealing with the commission in Gainesville.
Look, he's making a decent paycheck. You know, he's got to take the tough hits as they come. But
sure,
anybody that knows the history of this situation, the city virtually just about—I mean—came within a hair of completely destroying what was a gem of a municipally run utility, and they basically really they just about destroyed it.
Yep.
And I believe Belarski and this committee that the governor put together has made a huge difference, put them on a path to hopefully financially get back on their feet without raising costs any higher.
Mm-hmm. And they've actually lowered some rates. So that's good news.
But these power trip weirdo lefties that kind of run the show in Gainesville, They just can't give it up, man.
Well, and then they lie. Say, we're keeping it local. No, you're keeping it so that people who live outside the city who are paying customers have no rights at all. That's not keeping it local. That's keeping it exclusive.
Well, and if you've been losing your ass every day, losing your butt every day, I don't care if you're running it from planet Mars or right there at City Hall. If you suck, you suck.
Mm-hmm.
And they suck at running that. They have. Look, I experienced it all. I've been here 23 years. I literally saw the fall of GRU, and it all has to do with these idiots that they put themselves and get themselves in position of power. And it's the people. You keep voting for the same idiots or the same genre.
Yeah.
Of people.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the left is not winning anywhere in any arena on any ideology.
No.
But you still vote for them here in Gainesville?
Yep.
It's just
crazy.
Frustrating.
It is.
It's
crazy.
Supposed to be, university town, school of higher learning and all that. And these people are whacked. All right, we got to think more positively.
Yep.
And we will. It's big, it's beautiful, it's the big, beautiful bill. And it looks like it's getting close.
Oh.
It's getting closer. The Senate finally agreed. It's hard to keep up with.
Oh, it is.
The changes and what they've done and what they've shoved in there. Did I read this right? It's like 47 amendments they kind of shoved in there. Yeah. Here's what I've got. The House Rules Committee has teed up President Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill for a chamber-wide vote Wednesday, that is today, after a nearly 12-hour-long session debating the massive piece of legislation. Now it goes to the entire chamber for consideration, where several Republicans have already signaled their concerned with various aspects of the measure. Just two Republicans voted against reporting the bill out of committee. Ralph Norman out of South Carolina, Chip Roy out of Texas, conservatives who had expressed reservations with the bill earlier on Tuesday. No Democrats voted to advance it, while the remaining seven Republicans did. I thought Chip Roy was all over this thing and it was cheerleading it and was pushing it. So there must have been enough changes that were made by the Senate that it's, I guess, rubbing him the wrong way, right?
Oh, man.
All right. The majority of Republican lawmakers appear poised to advance the bill, however, believing it's the best possible compromise vehicle to make Trump's campaign promises a reality. Yeah, it's kind of like, you never, you never get everything you want. It just doesn't happen. And things that totally make sense and definitely should be in there get stripped out, and other things that you can't make sense of get shoved in there or kept in there. But I think all in all, you know, Trump's big picture agenda is big enough to cover whatever perceived deficits that the CBO and others think is going to occur. He understands the economic engine that is the United States of America. He knows how powerful we are when we're unleashed. You know, you lower the, taxes on everybody, including corporations, and you streamline regulations. I mean, and you can just feel the horsepower, you know, rumbling. So this bill is President Trump's agenda, and we are making it law. House Republicans are ready to finish the job and put one big, beautiful bill on President Trump's desk in time for Independence Day. This came from House GOP leaders in a joint statement after the Senate passed the bill on Tuesday. The House Rules Committee acts as the final gatekeeper before most pieces of legislation get a chamber-wide vote. Democrats attempted to delay the panel's hours-long hearing by offering multiple amendments that were shot down along party lines. All right. They criticized the bill as a bloated tax cut giveaway to wealthy Americans.
Of course.
The same Every old time. Song and dance. Oh. At the expense of Medicaid coverage for lower-income people. First of all, one actually doesn't have anything to do with the other.
No.
You know, it comes at the expense of. No, it doesn't. No. They're paring back Medicaid, trying to claw it away from people who are not eligible for it. They're not eligible. If you think Medicaid is important, if you think you might have to use that or on it maybe right now, well, if you want it to remain a chance to remain solvent, you've got to get the people off of it that aren't supposed to be on it.
Or nobody's going to get it.
That's right.
Nobody.
Democrats have also accused Republicans of adding billions of dollars to the national debt by extending tax cuts. All the way back to JFK. You cut taxes, it actually increases money that comes into the federal coffers. It has been tried and proven time and time again.
Reagan proved it. It just,
But they never get tired of trying to use that. They love to play the rich versus poor game. Oh, the rich are getting their breaks. No, that tax cut that Trump put into place in 2017 benefited all Americans, you know, that earn above at least a certain amount, you know, whatever the poverty level is, but it benefited everyone.
And for those who are actually in those lower levels, guess who still, thanks to tax credits and such, child credits, still get money back, even if they haven't paid very much in taxes. They still will get a bigger refund than maybe you or I might.
That's right.
It happens.
Trump wins again. Well, what's it this time? Paramount and CBS are forced to pay eight figures, change editorial policy in a settlement with Trump.
Nice.
Details on that coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 6:16. We're live and local. We're 97.3 The Sky. Well, good morning. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here at 6:21. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Governor DeSantis taking $8.5 million away from Alachua County.
Wah.
Wait till I tell you how much they do get, though. That $8.5 million won't seem like maybe quite as much.
Yeah.
I'll tell you some of the projects that got the thumbs down. Mm-hmm. But first, Alex Delvecchio. That name might ring a bell with some. You got to go in the back machine, old school. I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
the Red Wings of old school, you think of Gordie Howe.
Okay.
And the number two guy you're going to absolutely come up with next would be Alex Delvecchio. He passed away at the age of 93.
Wow.
He was a three-time Stanley Cup champ, spent 24 years in the NHL. He was one of the best centers, and he played alongside Gordie Howe. So, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he was pretty awesome. And the thing is, according to his family, you know, he wasn't just this great hockey icon. He was a devoted husband, loving father, grandfather, great-grandfather, cherished friend, and respected teammate to so many. The family put out a statement, while the world knew him as an incredible hockey player with numerous accomplishments on the ice, we knew him as someone whose humility, strength, competitiveness, kindness, and heart were even greater than his professional achievements. For decades, your love and support meant everything to Alex and all of us. We are deeply grateful and thankful to everyone. Outside of Gordie Howe, no player in Red Wings history may encompass playing for Detroit more than Delvecchio. He played the second most seasons with the franchise, 12 years as team captain, and only Steve Yzerman held that for a slightly longer period. And over the course of his NHL career, Delvecchio recorded 456 goals, 825 assists for 1,281 points in 1,550 games. Yep, and Phil Esposito, really the Bruins legend, he said it right all the way back in 1971, before Delvecchio even retired. He says, when you think of the Red Wings, you think of Howe, Phil Esposito said. But Alex is the most underrated player in the game today, underrated by everyone but the players.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, coming from somebody like Phil Esposito, yeah I'd say so. And it's interesting because I remember, you know, him from being a kid growing up in Detroit. And he started, like, back in 51, 52 season.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think
and
about.
And you're like, wait, how would I know who he is? Well, he retired during the 73-74 season. So, yeah.
What a career.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
And it brings back memories. So I thought some other people might be able to share in that.
On a totally kind of a different side note, just in talking about passing away, televangelist Jimmy Swaggart passed away this week. He was 90. It had a heart issue apparently a few days back, and I guess passed away yesterday. Well known for obviously his own church and ministry and failure at one point in his life, but
twice.
Okay, whatever.
And I don't know.
Just making stuff up there, Bob. And, of course, was also the cousin to both Jimmy Swaggart and Mickey Gilley, which is in the, they were all from Louisiana, which is why they had that same style of piano playing and singing to some extent. They were all cousins. And
yeah, I'm not picking on him, but I just had read the headline. It did say two separate episodes apparently involving
and that was decades ago,
women who get paid for
he watched
doing more than
yes.
cleaning the house.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
But that's it. Bring up the bad part of somebody's life, Bob. There you go.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that when they die,
no,
right?
But you jumped all over that one. That's okay.
Sorry.
You'll burn in hell. But other than that, it's okay.
I wasn't really casting stones. I was just trying to add a little accuracy. But hey. No, I just remember. I mean, the biggest thing I remember is on one of those occasions, him really breaking down, you know, publicly. And
well, that's the thing. For people who did not know him or follow him, that's what
exactly.
That's all you know, as opposed to, you know, the decades of good.
But let me tell you something. I mean, I felt bad for the guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
We're all fallen. We're all broken. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. And how many people get on national TV or, you know, basically from the pulpit and say, boy, I messed up.
Well, I forgive him.
Yeah.
Because if you ask for forgiveness, you better be able to forgive others.
There
and
is
I want
that
to sink in. And that's, I'm talking to me and everyone. You know, everybody go, oh, yeah, of course. No, I'm good about that. I'm really good. Think about it.
Are you really?
Yeah. There's people that you still harbor resentment, and you gotta make a conscious effort to let that go. I'm telling you, it's a very freeing kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You just got to let it go.
It does take effort, like you said.
It does. It does. Yep. Oh, I almost had a road rage thing yesterday.
Speaking of forgiveness. What happened?
So I'm at the drive-thru at the local CVS.
He, Bob, who always judges me for my road rage.
And And look, I was three deep to begin with, so I'd been sitting there for a while.
It takes a while. Yeah.
But it's the nature of the beast. It is what it is. And so you get up there in line, and, you know, I tried to explain to the young lady. She said, oh, no, we've got nothing ready to go for you. There's a couple things, but they're not, you know, they haven't come to date yet or whatever.
Okay.
I said, no.
That routine. Okay.
I specifically got a text. Well, I didn't get a text, actually, from CVS. It was a text from, I don't know, if it comes via my doctor or whatever.
Yeah.
It says your prescription should be ready at your local pharmacy. Should be ready. This was a few days ago when I received the notice, and I said, well, I better go pick it up, because sometimes I got a bad habit of sticking it back on the shelf or whatever.
Yep.
So better get it when it's there. Well, so I'm dealing with that and talking to the lady, and she's trying to be very, very helpful. She was great. And I see this guy behind me, and he's got one of those stupid, like, bucket-looking hats on. Uh-huh. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Those dumb, you know what I mean?
No.
And his glasses, like, hanging off his nose. He's got his window open. And you can tell, like, he's getting upset that it's taking time. And then he finally, I hear him yell, arr! And then he backs out, and he, like, squeals around, and then he flips.
Goodness.
I don't know. Was he flipping me off? Was he flipping the store off? But I got to tell you, it so irritated me. It's like my transaction finished up quickly, and I was hunting him. I was going to tell him.
You were going to come up and say, I forgive you for being a jerk.
I was going to say, I'm a heart patient, but I'm just about to kick your ass. 628 on the Bob Rose Show, 97.3 The Sky. Hang in there, my friends. Happy Hump Day Trump Day. Another day in paradise and a happy hump day, Trump Day it is, and Trump just keeps on winning. 6:38 right now is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and Trump wins again, and that is a victory for women athletes everywhere. Listen to this. The University of Pennsylvania has agreed to apologize for allowing infamous transgender college swimmer Leah Thomas to compete on the women's team, resolving Title IX violations. In a press release that came out yesterday, the Department of Education announced that the university had entered into a resolution agreement to comply with Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972. The Department of Ed explained that UPenn would, quote, restore to female athletes all individual UPenn Division I swimming records, titles, or similar recognitions which were misappropriated by male athletes allowed to compete in female categories. That is huge. That is another Trump win, clearly. And everybody with a modicum of common sense and a brain knows that biological men have no business competing with and against women.
Mm-mm.
Period. It's not that tough to understand that. But it took somebody like Donald Trump to help those people to understand it. Transgender swimming champion Leah Thomas will be stripped of University of Pennsylvania swimming titles after the Ivy League school bowed to pressure from the Trump administration. The university will also issue formal apologies to every biological female competitor who lost out to a transgender competitor following an investigation by the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. The probe found UPenn violated Title IX by allowing a male to compete in a female athletic program and occupy female-only intimate facilities. So on every level, stay out of the locker rooms, stay out of the pool, stay out of the athletic arena if you're a biological male and there are women competing.
Absolutely.
And it's so sad that it takes this kind of act that the president has to apply this kind of pressure for people to just have common sense.
Who would have dreamed?
Nobody would have. Our grandparents are like, what?
No.
And again, there's no hatred here. There's absolutely no malice at all. It's just simply that if you decide that, you know, you're not happy with your gender and living within the bounds of what that gender represents, that there may be certain sacrifices that you're going to have to make. And one of them is you won't be allowed to compete against the gender that you think you are. You'll have to compete, if you want to compete, against the gender that you physically are or were physically born.
This has been such a slap in the face for women who for decades, fought to have their own equality, if you will, their own teams, their own leagues. And then we let this happen just like overnight?
Yeah, they let it happen. And then if you speak up against it, you're ostracized. Oh, you're called all kinds of names.
Yep.
It's absolutely awful. The way people are treated just when they stand up for what they believe to be what is, you know, common sense. So this is a big deal and another victory you can add to Donald Trump and his presidency.
Well, a good example of that, the author, Rowling. I mean, because she did not go along with that whole stuff, they were just calling her out and wanting to ban the books and all kinds of things. I mean, it's like, if you don't go along, then suddenly you're the bad guy.
Well, there's one of these Pride Group founders or whatever, Stephen Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually said that he made it one of his life's goals to destroy J.K. Rowling's career and life.
That's crazy.
After she began speaking strongly in favor of women's rights and against the encroachment of transgenderism in women's spaces.
Amazing.
So she's not allowed to have an opinion. Not only is she not allowed to have an opinion, but she should be hated for it, ostracized for it, punished for it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Oh, but wait a second. This Stephen Ireland, who helped to put together one of these LGBTQ pride groups.
Right.
He was the founder of it. Apparently has been sentenced to 30 years in jail for child rape in the United Kingdom.
But he doesn't want someone else to have an opinion different than his, but he can be like
he can be
that.
A child rapist.
Right, and that's somehow okay. Okay.
Wow.
I'm glad he's getting his. Like, he probably will, too. So
JK says, Stephen Ireland, who targeted me with endless abuse on here, meaning on X, because I oppose the chemical castration of children and the removal of protected spaces for women and girls, has just been sentenced to 30 years in jail for child rape.
Good.
Ireland, who was the founder of the Pride in Surrey gay group, was arrested with his former partner and co-defendant David Sutton and charged with a rape of a boy in their apartment in April of 2024. During his trial, British prosecutors presented text messages between Ireland and the victim that proved that Ireland knew full well the boy was only 14 and not a consenting adult.
Wow.
And apparently they were also found guilty, him and his partner, of a string of sexual offenses against children, including voyeurism, arranging the commission of child sex offense, possession of prohibited images of children, and other charges. So, yeah.
Pot kettle, huh?
Well, way worse.
Way worse, yeah.
I mean, somebody gives their opinion in defense of a gender.
And then you're doing that
kind
of stuff?
And the other one's a...
Yeah.
Pedo.
Yeah. Wow.
That's how they say it, I think, in UK. A pedo.
They talk funny over there, you know.
Yeah.
They should learn English.
They should learn Merck.
Merck.
Merck. 6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Trump's big, beautiful bill. All that. We're just winning, winning, and winning. And I'm not tired of it.
Oh, no.
97.3 The Sky. Indeed, it's Wednesday. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day, 6:49. The Bob Rose Show rolling. Greg Cassidy's here. Don't forget, the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show. I think you'll love the way it's formatted out and everything. And, very, very well done. Governor DeSantis, he's a big meanie. He's taken $8.5 million away from Alachua County.
Aw, so sad. Why?
He has Einleitung, veto power. He didn't just use it against Alachua County. He cut a bunch of stuff out of there. In fact, he killed $576 million worth of projects across the state as part of this budget.
Okay.
All right. And, don't forget, Alachua County is already getting, what, I don't know, 200-something million? So,
wow.
Yeah. So to cut some of this stuff out, it's not completely unexpected, I don't think. But here's some of the things that didn't make it on the list.
Oh, this should be interesting.
Yeah. Okay. City of Newberry Electric System Resiliency Project, $350,000. I don't know what that is. Resiliency. Okay. High Springs Police Station, $250,000.
Okay.
City of Alachua Wastewater Treatment Facility Expansion, $225,000. Dance Alive National Ballet Center for the Arts, $475,000.
Wow.
Gainesville Southwest Public Safety Services Center, $1.1 million. Girl Scouts of Gateway Council Camp Kateri Capital Project, $400,000. City of High Springs Northwest Alachua County Utility Improvements, $250,000. Alachua County Jail Capital Efficiency Analysis, $225,000. Save Florida Waters Inc. Northern Springs Restoration Project, $250,000. Department of Ag's Doyle Connor Building in Gainesville Renovation and Construction, $4.9 million. All those were next.
Okay.
Not going to make it.
Gotcha.
With the budget, Governor DeSantis approved sales tax holidays and made some items sales tax free permanently. Permanently. Yeah. A back-to-school sales tax will happen every August, applies to clothing under $100, school supplies under $50, learning aids under $30, and personal computers under $1,500. That's every August. Okay. August is coming up.
Yep.
So might have to get that, that new laptop. Event tickets, state park admissions, life jackets, sunscreen, bike helmets, and insect repellent will be permanently exempt from sales tax.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Insect repellent. Wow. So you won't be bugged with a sales tax anymore.
See what you did there.
Permanent exemptions also include disaster preparedness items like batteries, portable generators. That's huge.
Oh, yeah.
Permanent exemptions. No sales tax. Portable generators. Tarps, gas cans, smoke detectors, and carbon monoxide detectors. And then, we've been waiting. A Second Amendment sales tax holiday will occur this year from September 8th through December 31st. That'll include bows, firearms, ammunition, tents, sleeping bags, camping stoves, fishing rods and reels, tackle boxes, and bait and tackle.
Okay.
So when you go in there and get a bucket of shiners, don't let them charge the sales tax.
No. You want the good deal.
Well, at least don't let them do that between September 8th and December 31st.
I know it's a disappointment, though, for, you know, gun shops and the industry in the sense that sometimes in the summer, you know, sales can be down a little bit, and that's when they were really looking forward to it, which is what the governor wanted. It's not what Tallahassee gave him, unfortunately. So, I mean, I guess we take it when we can get it.
Right.
But, you know, still, all those things would have been a great thing for summertime activities.
Yeah. So DeSantis overall, though, I believe now after these line item vetoes, is approving the Florida budget. So I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Coming up. Also, the big, beautiful bill, Stephen Miller. You know, works with the Trump administration. He said that this one big beautiful bill permanently funds the nation's southern border against illegal entry. This is big because, you know, when Reagan signed a very similar bill into effect back in 1986, they sold it to us as, and you're never going to have to worry about this illegal immigration issue again because this bill takes care of it. And you know what? As the way it was written, if it was properly funded, it probably would have done just that. But both Republicans and Democrats failed on that. And pretty soon it just became so watered down that it didn't have any teeth. Hmm. So according to Stephen Miller, this bill will deliver on a 50-year hope and dream of the American people to secure the border. The bill provides $46.5 billion for completion of the border wall and its surveillance technology, plus roughly $100 billion in additional funds to detain migrants and to hire new law enforcement and deportation agents. The bill also provides an economic and political foundation for regulatory reforms of legal migration, for popular curbs on white-collar outsourcing, and for the continued corporate investment needed to raise the incomes of young Americans and their families. And even the vice president, J.D. Vance, said of the Big Beautiful Bill, "This is a big win for the American people. We are taking back our country," added Senator Eric Schmidt, Republican out of Missouri. So, yeah, supposedly this will have some real teeth. This will have a lasting effect, or so we're told. But now you've got to get the Rules Committee and the House to give their final approval after the Senate has looked at this thing and finally, you know, sent it on its way. Mm-hmm. So it could reach the president's desk, could, sometime today. That might be a little bit
optimistic. Yeah, be an optimist.
You got to be.
Well, we'll see what the House says. They'll look at it and all those bazillion amendments. By the way, we are going to be talking to Luis Valdez. Just got that confirmed about 7:35 this morning, because when it comes to some of the Second Amendment things, they were in, they were out, they were in, they were neutered, they were in, they were out. So we've got to see maybe where that stands and where he thinks it may be going.
And that's the Big Beautiful Bill, by the way, at the federal level.
The federal level, yes.
And he also follows, you know, what goes on in Tallahassee as well. Yep. But, I look forward to talking to him. And and we will do that later on this morning, right?
Yep.
Do you have a time or no?
Yeah, 7:35.
Oh. Huh. And you even wrote it down. Yeah. And
yes.
I can even read it. You're exceeding expectations early hour, Greg.
I'm just trying to be an overachiever this morning.
You are unbelievable. I guess we won't have to send you to that concentration camp, because if things didn't work out here, I know management talked about you doing some remote broadcast from Alligator Alcatraz.
I don't know. I don't think I'm brown enough, quite frankly.
Oh! No. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a modern-day concentration camp for brown people.
That's what we hear.
According to Florida State Rep. Angie Nixon, a Democrat, who's accusing Trump of building, a modern-day concentration camp.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
No, it's actually an airport. You go, you show up, you get on a plane, and you go home.
And it's in a subtropical destination.
Oh, people pay big bucks to go to a place like that.
Wow.
Everybody wants to come to Florida.
But yet the left continues to complain.
Yeah.
Plenty more to talk about on a happy hump day, Trump day. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.